Turn me, please, to Psalms 109, just for a moment. So many people ask me, I was in Williamsburg, Ohio. No, wait a minute. These guys are going to sing, ain't they? You forgot. You ain't got Alzheimer's. Well, let me read this verse to you, then. I'm sorry, I thought he'd see the guitars. Old-timer, some-timer, the whole thing. But let me show you. Everybody asks me, I mean, invariably, and Brother Bob and Junior come this morning, they say, preacher, what in the world is happening? Well, I don't know about y'all, and I'll show you this morning, but I love this country. But I'm telling you, as we know America, brother, we're in a cesspool. I ain't never seen nothing like it in my life. Last week, I was in Williamsburg, Ohio, and I was telling Brother Noble them, there was people running on getting handguns 20 per hour in Cincinnati. They sold 7,500 guns the day after the election. Preacher called me from Roanoke, Virginia, big gun man, was telling me how that they're down there buying up guns and buying up ammunition. Well, we was just talking about it. My mother-in-law had more knowledge than I'll probably ever gain in my life about things. She used to say, history always repeats itself. Y'all ever heard that? How many of you ever heard that? History always repeats itself. Mama used to say, and this is a fact, Hitler, when he took over Germany and was trying to take over Europe, remember what he done? He confiscated all the handguns. All you have to do is read history. Did you know he burned Bibles and burned books by the mountains? Ain't that a sight? Look where we're going. There's an attack on the Word of God. And I'll preach in a moment. But let me show you my verse. Psalms 109, verse 8. There always everybody talking about Obama. I said, well, the Bible says that the hearts is in the hands of the Lord. He sets them up, takes them down. But here's my lifetime verse. Y'all ready? Verse 8 says, let his days be few, and let another take his office. Y'all better come, Brother Junior. I'll preach in a minute. What do you think? Is it against the law in here to say amen or something? Oh, I'm in trouble tonight. Brother Bob West, Brother Junior Smith. Hold him up there. Thank God, right kind, it'll count. Amen. Now, 1 Samuel, please, if you would, in your Bible, chapter 30. Now, I want you to take notes on me. Everybody's been asking me about my health, and I appreciate that. Just a few weeks back, me and my wife went to Florida, and I held a meeting down at New Testament Baptist Church in Cape Coral. Well, driving down the interstate, I could not see those great big signs on the interstate. And I asked my wife, I said, what does that sign say? She said, you mean to tell me you can't see that sign? I said, nope. I'd get up real close, and then finally I'd see the thing. Well, went down and held the meeting, and most of it, I don't know if I shared this with you or not, but everything I would eat, I would get nauseated. Everything I would eat. Now remember, I couldn't see out of my left eye, so everything I ate, I would get just nauseated. Well, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse to where it just get full-blown sickness. I mean, I just, not vomiting, but just sick. So I went to the doctor, and he examined my eyes, and he said, do you realize you can't see out of your left eye? Hello. So they scheduled me for surgery. Then this doctor is Dr. Mark Henry, loves the Lord. Bless his heart. And that's a blessing. They have doctors that love the Lord. Yeah. And so anyway, this other doctor, Dr. Dixon, they determined that what my problem was, they'd run all these tests on me, that it was my gallbladder. We went to this surgeon, and he said, his name is Peter Katz, and he said, Brother Sisson, do you realize that with this Hydaskin, and it's, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, so he said, we need to do this test. Have they done upper, lowers? They've done everything in the world on me and still couldn't tell me what's wrong with me, right? So I go over there, and they want to do this real expensive test, and I don't have insurance. And so I told him, I said, well, if they do this, what's going to be the result? He said, we're going to take your gallbladder out. Well, I said, take the thing out now.
Yeah.
Bypass that. So anyway, the only way he would consent to it was if I stayed overnight in the hospital. Most of you know them split gowns ain't my thing. Say amen. That's humiliating. So I went in the hospital and they did the surgery. I have to stay overnight because he says I'm afraid I'll bleed out and all this stuff. Now, I've not eaten, and everything I eat, I get sick. So I'm laying there, Brother Lawrence. They bring in this tray of food. I've not eaten. Are you listening to me, Dave?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think doctors ought to have to go through what we have to go through with, and they may have to give you a little more compassion.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't eat nothing for 2 days. Okay. They bring that tray of food in there, and they had spaghetti, meat sauce. They had vegetables of every kind. She said, I don't think this is meant for you. I said, you don't want to try to take it out of here. Boy, I'm telling you, Brother Larry, I flew into that noble, and the moment I put it in my mouth, I knew it wasn't going to get sick. That's a blessing, boy.
Yeah.
So now I can see and now I can eat. Y'all are in trouble, ain't you? I got to tell you this. Y'all know I've got this inquisitive nature. I go in there, and they got me prepped. They told me to be over there at 7:45. 7:45. So I'm there at 7:45. They call me back. They dilate my eyes. They do all this. They put that little gown on me, that little thing on your head. Thank you. Really. Not down going. And 3 hours, Jay, I'm in there. They put this stuff in my eye. 3 hours, they dilate my eyes. All this stuff. They take me back there, Brother Larry, and I'm laying there, and I said, excuse me. I said, how do you keep my eye from blinking? I'm in the water. Wouldn't y'all like to know? She said, well, we don't take your eye out. I said, I hope not. She said, we got this. And she said, what is sterilized? I'll show it to you. So she showed the thing and holds my eye open. And then she said, now, preacher, said, I listen to y'all the time on the radio. I said, I'm laying on that little cap on my head. And she said, now from the time that Dr. Hemming walks in here, 7 minutes later he's going to walk out. I said, oh, whoa, what? I said, 7 minutes? She said, 7 minutes? When he walks in here, he'll walk out. And I'm telling you before the Lord, y'all do the math right quick. 7 minutes divided into 1,440. That's good money, ain't it? 7 minutes, Brother Jay. From the time he walked in, Brother Earl, to the time he walked out, I had lens in my eye. Ain't that a blessing?
Yeah.
Ain't that a blessing? Yeah. I can see they didn't put no patch on my eye or nothing. Ain't that a blessing?
Yeah.
So I'm waiting on my new glasses. I can see and eat. You're in trouble, Noble. 1 Samuel, please, chapter 30. Now this is for Brother Noble. This is for Brother Noble. Look at that gray hair. Ready? I bet he draws a check, Social Security. I don't know if he does not. Probably deserves 4 or 5 of them. Don't you listen to this? Hey, Brother Noble, have you ever questioned how you know when you get old? Huh? Okay. Says when you and your teeth don't sleep together. Says when you try to straighten out the wrinkles in your socks and when you find out you discover you're not wearing any. This is noble. When you wake up looking like your driver license picture. Listen to this. When your idea of weightlifting is standing up. Then he says when you sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. When he says the pharmacist has become your best friend. That's how you know when you're getting old. Then he said this, when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You're in trouble. Okay, 1 Samuel 30, please. In this chapter, and it won't take me long, I promise you, 1 Samuel 30, well, we ought to have services every night. That'd suit me. Would y'all come? Well, sure, the goodest week in work, you can come. Y'all are pitiful. I'll let y'all make, that'd be fine with me because this bunch, I love them to death, but I don't want to have 3 hours of silence with them. Huh? It's called Holy Spirit. Noble. They knew I was, no, I don't think they did. Nope, I don't think they did. In 1 Samuel 30,
I want you to look in your Bible. Now, if you look in verse 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, the smitten Ziklag, had burned it with fire. He had taken the women captive, and they were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but they carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men, they came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him, now watch carefully, lifted up their voice, and they wept until they had no power to weep. Think about that. And David's two wives were taken captives, and Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Now he's already got enough problems. Now the people, they're wanting to stone him. Drop down and look what your Bible says. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man, for his sons and for his daughters, and David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Isn't that wonderful? With all of his problems, he ran to the Lord. Now, I got to hurry to go. Notice if you went verse 7. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring hither the ephod. Now, I don't have time to get with that. I wish I could. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after the troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered, pursue, for thou shalt overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now, remember this. Now, put it in your mind. Go back, look if you would, in verses 1, please. Now, write this down. Notice in your Bible what all had happened. Ziklag and Judah had been invaded by terrorists. They had burnt the city. They wanted to kill David. David seeks direction from the Lord. David called for the ephod. The Lord's answer in verse 8. But I want you to, in order to conserve time, drop down to verse 18, please. Ready? And David recovered. Would y'all sit back to me? What? David recovered it all. Drop down, look in the verse 19, letter clause. And David recovered all. For a little while, let me preach on this subject on taking back stolen vessels. In John 10, Jesus said this. He says, the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. I've been working on this, Brother Bradley, and I thought tonight if God would let me get here. Now, will you agree with me tonight that we must, as a people, we've got to reclaim our country? I believe that. I seen that little baby back there. Abigail, ain't that her name? Ain't that little child pretty? Little thing needs a home. I don't know the number of the social services. But I'm saying, have you ever thought, if time goes on, what will it be like for that child? How many of y'all got children or grandchildren? Would you raise your hand? Now, when I show you this, now don't get angry at me. And I'm not trying to anger you, but wait till I get in and you'll understand. Our Constitution, nationalism, patriotism. Brother, we need to get stirred. For instance, like so many people, Brother Larry informed me a moment ago that I hurt his feelings and he said he was the chairman of the Democratic Party. I didn't say nothing. I didn't believe him. But I'm saying, when I was up in Ohio, I could not believe at how many young people, that couldn't even vote were out handing out flyers for Obama. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could get our youth so captivated with the things of God? Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could do that? But you see, now listen to me, these young people wasn't even old enough to vote, but they was out there knocking on doors wanting to know, was they registered to vote? And if they was not registered to vote, guess what they do? They would make arrangements to where they could go be registered to vote. See, I believe it's a God-given privilege to vote. Say amen. I thought about our commitment, our concern, our character. I thought about we need to reclaim our national pride. Amen. But our day and time, apathy has set in. Lethargicness has set in. I'm talking about our nation. You can't believe it, the people that told me I'm not voting. That's one privilege, thank God, nobody can take away from me. See, I believe God's favored this nation. I believe God found this nation. Amen. Wait till I show you this and you'll know what I'm talking about. But I thought about that. If God would let me get here tonight, I've been working on this. Let's go back just for a moment. Will you agree with me? Will you agree with me that we're living in a rut? And I'm talking about our nation as a whole. Why is these pews not filled up? Why is not as so many people excited about the things of God as they are political? To be very honest with you, they're voting their low-down pocketbooks. We're not worried about character anymore. We're not worried about honesty or decency. How long has it been since you heard anybody stand up that was running for an office talk about character or decency or honesty? It's all what the economy is. Amen. I'll get to it just a moment. So we produce what I call these cheap grace preachers. Amen, sister. And then I thought about we've got these man-pleasing preachers. Then I thought about we produce what I call feminized preachers. Feminized. Then I said this. Then I got the. I went to a bookstore. I never seen so many self-help books in all my life. They got a book to help you with everything. How to rear your children. How to get along with your wife. How to get along with your husband. How to take and conduct a business meeting. I never seen nothing like it in my life. Well, I mean, we got all these self-help books. And then I thought about this. I thought about what our nation is killing all these little babies. 1,500,000 every year. Nobody's crying out for the innocent. So here's something else. Then I thought about how babies being murdered in the womb. This is grotesque. When Bill Clinton went into office and he was, the inauguration was in January, on February after he signed into law, it's called a partial birth abortion. Look at me for a minute. Have y'all ever questioned why that they let a baby grow in the womb of the mother to a certain trimester? It's already legal to abort the little thing, but why do they do that? Why do they let it to be a certain like 16 weeks or so many weeks? Why do they do that? Let me show you why. Every baby part of that baby is used. They turn a little thing around the mother's womb, called partial birth abortion, and they drill a hole right here. Now, have you ever questioned, look at me, have you ever wondered what they do with the fetus? Would y'all like to know? What do they do with it? What do they, put it in an incinerator, Brother Peel, like you burn them chickens up? What do they do with it? For one, if you've ever skinned a rabbit or skinned a squirrel, you'll go around it, you'll cut up through here, and you take the skin off. If you look on certain women's makeup, it says collagen. That's human skin. To make their skin more pliable or more moisture. Look at it. Look on some of your cosmetics that women. And then the pituitary gland. They use every baby part of that baby. Do you think God's going to let us get by with this?
No.
There ain't no way. Goes a little farther. Legalized gambling. We're building a whole society on produces nothing. I just come out of Cincinnati. They're up there fussing. Proposition 6. Where that they was going to bring gambling into Cincinnati, the casinos. And you can't believe how slick they are and how the devil. But, well, we're going to lose 10,000 jobs if y'all vote this down. But look at me for a moment. It produces nothing. Legalized gambling produces absolutely nothing, amen. Except rob the poor people. I get so aggravated. I go in and I despise this lottery. I hate standing there while they're buying them low-down lottery tickets. In fact, I'll ask them to move. Amen. Have y'all ever tried to pay for your gas and just stand there while they're buying them dollar things? But you see, this is a practice that which we're, the longer it's done, the more people that do it, pretty soon it becomes accepted. Here's another one right quick. Then I thought about this secular humanism, Planned Parenthood. Then I thought about this, our great George W. Bush. I quote him. Here's what he said. Christians worship the same God as Muslims. That's not true. Allah and God is not the same. But I'm saying, in our mentality, you'd be shocked to death how many people that believe that. George W. Bush quoted it. Then let me give you this. Obama says, in a quote, he says, the Sermon on the Mount justifies gays and lesbians. That is not true. But we've got him in the White House. And let me show you something else. Same-sex marriage is legalized. And out in California, they were trying to repeal the thing or get it where that you could not, two women could marry or two men could marry. Now look at me for a moment. Whatever's in California will eventually be in Madisonville, Kentucky. Just give it enough time. Nobody seems to be concerned about this thing. God didn't say no a man and man or woman and woman. Say amen. But my point is, I'm saying television shows are bombarding us, and I'm talking about trying to get us to accept this as a norm. Give me this one right quick. Sodomy, same-sex marriage, Mother Earth protected. I'm so sick of hearing about global warming. We're worried about a polar bear up there in the North Pole. Everybody says the glaciers are melting down. Everybody forgets God in the equation. Amen. Everybody's talking about Mother Nature, Mother Nature. I said, who's Mother Nature? Meteorologists anymore beat anything I've ever seen in my life. We are so humanistically minded, it's pathetic. Amen. Well, I'm talking about, we hear this stuff. Who controls the wind? Who controls the air we breathe? Who controls the fire? I'm saying, but we forget that there's a God in heaven that controls this mess. Let me show you something. Illegal aliens are destroying our country. Now, I'm not trying to upset you. If you get upset, you just have to take a quarter of a aspirin and worry about it. They can come into our country. Isaiah 1 and verse 3 says, strangers devour your land. They can come in and they can go and get free medical. Don't y'all see what a draw that is on our side? But a senior citizen, somebody that's worked and paid Social Security, worked in and worked and worked and worked and worked. What are you trying to get me, senior citizen? You got 7.5 million Muslims in the United States. No telling how many Spanish. Boy, y'all are a pitiful bunch. There's no telling. New York City's got over 8 million, and they're talking about how in New York City, the diversity is of all the races. See, y'all don't remember this, but I do. I remember when they came through New York, and they came from Yugoslavia, and they came from all these different parts of the world. You see, before they could be nationalized, they had to speak English. Don't down me for a minute. Guess what they had to do? They had to come before a 3-panel judge. They could not memorize. They couldn't memorize the 3-panel judge. This individual that was going to be nationalized, they had to learn a paragraph in English, and at their discretion, they were told, read this. They had to read it in English. Y'all ain't getting this, are you? You go to the post office. Go to the post office, and they have to go get someone that can speak fluent Spanish before they can help you. And you stand over there just waiting. Do y'all realize who pays them individuals to come and buy those money orders? And then they have to be trained. I'm talking about the postal people. They have to be trained, or they have to get somebody that's a bilingual to come and to be able to communicate with them people. You say, but sister, you ain't got no compassion. Quit lying on me. I'm just saying our country's being destroyed from within. And nobody seems to have enough backbone to stand up and cry out against it. And I'm telling you right now, how many of y'all understand that your radio stations are federally licensed? Would you raise your hand? Do you realize this? I'll give you something to think about. In years gone by, you used to hear a man by the name of Oliver B. Green, Box 2020, Greenville, South Carolina. And used to, he would give you the call letters of the Canadian address. Back to the Bible, the same identical way. I could go on and on. Every preacher that used to be on what they call a national radio, they would always give a Canadian address. Why don't they do it now? Because Canada has got your hate laws in place. You can't call a drunk a drunk. You can't say whoredom. You can't say thief. Okay, so now then, our neighbor, only just a border in between us, they have the hate laws in place. Okay, we're naive to believe that liberals will not produce the same thing. You wait till I'm not telling you the God's untruth. They give anything in the world to shut down Grace Baptist Church. They give, I don't know if y'all see this coming or not. Y'all got this Christian school. I know you don't believe. So many people have got involved in church and state, it's going to come. They're going to come in and screen what you teach your students. Now you're a hate, you're a racist. I'm saying, now watch this. I'm saying all of these things are in place. Gets a little better. Now watch this. Not only are they going to take away the... I know my time is limited on the radio. They're going to kick me off. But our Constitution is ignored and attacked by liberals. Our children are taught that they came from apes. Our children are taught our day and time. Liberal judges. There's nothing wrong with liberalism. Well, let me prove this to you right quick. Go back, look in your Bible. David recovered all. There's no sense arguing with me. Our nation's in trouble. Our church is in trouble. Our neighborhood's in trouble. Up here in Cincinnati, I used to pastor. You never seen so many killings and rapings and shootings and fire burn in your life as in Cincinnati. You ought to see our Lexington station in Lexington, Kentucky. You've never seen so many home invasions and shootings and stabbings. Hey, look here. They leave them on the street in Lexington. Do y'all get the Lexington news down here? Is anybody here at all? Do you ever hear Fayette County or Lexington, Kentucky, their news? We do. You can't believe what's going on in Lexington, Kentucky. But now let's go back right quick. Look in your mouth. I'm talking about, I told somebody, they got so upset at me. I got neighbors that upset on me because I put a McCain and Palin out sign in my front yard. Oh, they ought to hurt them. This is my yard. We need to get out of this locked in. Well, I might just say it since you're the chairman. You can't believe it to people that have raked me over the coals, been at me. My daddy was this, my mama was, my grandmother. And you ain't. I'm going to vote that way. That's how my mother was, my grandmother, my daddy, my preacher. I told him, I said, that's exactly what's wrong with our whole country. We don't care anymore. Amen, sister. Hey, Brother Lawrence, look at me for a moment. Does Brother Bradley teach history? Do you really? Okay, let's me and you talk a minute. Forget about everybody in this building. If I say Patrick Henry, what would you say to me? That's true. If I said Harvey Witherspoon, what does that mean to you? If I said, did y'all know John Hancock? Hit me. Yeah, have you ever questioned, Brother Larry, why that John Hancock's name is in great big letters? I always thought he was just lifted up with pride. And wanted everybody, that's what I thought. He said, I want everybody to know who John Hancock is. Y'all don't understand that, boy, when they put their name on the Constitution, do you realize, son, most of those men died paupers. They took their farms. They took everything. They took everything from them. Now, let's go back just for a minute. It won't take me but a minute. I've been working on this. In Jamestown, Virginia, and Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts, and these 13 colonies. Boy, I love history. Let's move up a little farther. We know that our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, if you trace it back, they came to America for freedom of worship. We know that. Now they get to this new world, the 13 colonies. Now I'll move it up real fast. Did you know that molasses, I still like molasses. You know anything about molasses in the new colony? How about rum? Rum toddy. Sounds pretty good. The early settlers, not only did they have molasses, not only did they have rum, and they was export that's bringing this in. Now, the reason why I'll hurry up just a moment. There was trade going on. They were sending back to England. They were sending back the things that they had found here in this new world. Here they all come to this new world. I'm talking about from England. They didn't come here as the original colonists did. They came here for gain. When they got here, the early settlers was here. The British now the British was imposing what they called a Stamp Act. Y'all remember that? Anybody here at all? A Stamp Act. Okay, Brother Bradley. Why do we have a Boston Tea Party? They were taxing the tea. Everybody talks about a man by the name of Paul Revere. How many rides did he make, Doc? He really made three, but two of them was the most influential riders. They hung lanterns and they said, the British are coming, the British are coming. What I'm fixing to show you, the colonists was already fighting. They had been fighting over a year. They got fed up with England. I got to tell you this. Are y'all ready? A man by the name of Patrick Henry. He's 39 years old. And he goes and he stands up and he gets to the floor. Now, I want you to listen to this. His oratory gave him his lasting fame. He's remembered primarily for the speech he gave to the Second Virginia Convention on March the 23rd, 1775. There's already blood being shed already before the war broke out with England. Now listen to this. Listen. They said that the whole thing was weather to arm the Virginia militia to fight against the British. Finally, they recognized this 39-year-old man by the name of Patrick Henry. He stands up and he says, Mr. President, it's natural to the man to indulge in the illusions of hope. We're apt to shut our eyes against the painful truth and listen to the song of that siren till she transform us into beast. Is this the part of a wise man engaged in great and arduous struggle for liberty? Are we disposed to be of the number of those having eyes and see not and having ears hear not? He's quoting Isaiah 6 and 10. Now listen, it's going to get good. He says the things which so nearly concern their temporal salvation. For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it might cost, I'm willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it. Now remember, he's talking to the delegates of the 13 colonies. There's no longer any room for hope, he says. If we wish to be free, if we mean to preserve and violate those inestimable privileges for which we have been so long contending, if we mean not basically to abandon this noble struggle in which we have been so long engaged, and which we have pledged ourselves neither to abandon unto the glorious object of our contest, shall we be obtained. We must fight. Now listen. I repeat it, sirs, we must fight. An appeal to arms and to the God of heaven is all that we have left for us. Now listen. They tell us, sir, that we are weak, that we're unable to cope with so many formidable adversaries. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be the next week or next year? When it will be when we're totally disarmed. And when a British guard shall be stationed in every house. You'll get that in a minute. He says to me this, shall we gather strength by this inaction? Shall we acquire the means of an effectual resistance by lying on our backs and hugging this delusive phantom of hope until our enemies have bound us hand and foot? He's talking to the delegates of the 13 colonies. The British are everywhere. Listen to this. Then he says, millions of people armed in the holy cause of liberty in such a country as that we possess are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. And besides this, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There's a just God, he says, over the destinies of nations. Amen. Hallelujah. How'd you like to have been there and seen him? Amen. 39 years old. There's a just God who presides over the destiny of his nation, who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. The battle, sir, is not too strong alone. It is the vigilant, the active, the brave, and besides, sir, we have no election. If we were base enough to desire it, it's now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat. Boy, I'd love to have heard that. Outside is the British. Then he says this, there is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. Let it come. I repeat it, sir. Let it come. It's vain, he said, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. They'd already been clashes with the British, with the militia. Amen, sister. The British were tyrannous. Now watch it. He says this. Now listen. He says, the war has actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand you here idle? Boy, how'd you like to heard that? I don't believe you're standing still. And by the way, when Patrick Henry gets done, they all have their voice at their delegates. And before they ever sign the Declaration of Independence, they turn the chairs around and they make them altars, and he preached for 2.5 hours. Lord God, that'd kill most Baptists. He preached to those delegates for 2.5 hours. Then they got on their knees and made the back of the chairs an altar and sought God's face before they ever pledged and signed their name on the Declaration of Independence. And we don't even have enough backbone to go vote. It's a little better now. Watch this. Are y'all ready? He says, if we mean not basic to... Well, I'm sorry. Let me go back. Now listen, let me read this to you. You need to understand this. He says this. It's vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there's no peace. The war's actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. He says, why stand you here, we idle? What is it that you gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or so peace, so sweet to you as to be purchased as the price of chains and slavery? God, he says, for my almighty God, forbid this, amen. Now listen to this. This is what we remember him as. I know not what others' causes may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Amen, brother sister. Taking back these strongholds. And the Bible plainly says in 1 Samuel 30 that he recovered it all. Now there's 5 truths. One, our country is being raped right before our eyes. The second thing, did you know the devil has robbed our children? I was telling the men over there a while ago, we were sitting in the room, our kids are playing their ways right into hell. Church is now involved in giving them every kind of electronic game. They've already got enough electronic games. Most of us, we come in, we worked in the fields. Or we work cutting wood. We were made to work. There's nothing wrong with that word. Say amen. Amen. So my mama taught me a lot of four-letter words. Cook, wash, iron, slap, whip, work. But children were taught work ethics. Let's just be honest. Nod your head in the affirmative. All they know today is come home from school and play games. Amen, sister. And then they threaten to sue you if you ask them to take the garbage out. Brother Sisson, he says, give me liberty or give me death. One, our country is being raped right before our eyes. Secondly, it's robbed our children. It's ransacked our churches. I ain't never seen anything like it. Wherever I go, they say, preacher, how do you motivate people? How do you get people motivated? Here you go. I don't know. I just know fall in love with the Son of God. You won't need no problem being motivated. The Lord's Day don't mean nothing to people anymore, Brother Noble. Won't come back on Sunday night. Baptist churches. I've been preaching 40 years of my life. Years ago, the same ones that I had respect for, looked up to, they're nothing now but an entertainment center. Won't come back on Sunday night. Now they're going to one big service on Sunday morning. Won't come on Wednesday night. Can't come to revival meetings. Won't come to revival meetings. Everything in the world is more important. Say amen. Let me show you. Then I thought about this. Our society has so ridiculed our Christian life. If you say Christian in this day and time, that covers a huge umbrella. The only way you can understand the word Christian is you must know the Lord that Christianity professes. But if you say it out here in the general context, everybody says, well, this nation is Christian. Oh, get a life. Amen. Our nation as a whole is not a Christian nation. Amen. Curse God. I never heard such. I had a man tell me the other day, it's been a long time since I've been in the workforce. I worked in Sun Chemical in Cincinnati. He was telling me about, he said, Brother Sisson, last week, he said, he works in Lebanon. He said, we have a lot of women that's on the line. He said, Brother Sisson, he said, you can't believe the language comes out of their mouth. He said, it's embarrassing to hear what they talk about, what they say. Preacher Sisson, when we say Christianity in this, used to you knew what a Christian was. I mean, really saved person. Used to, if you said fundamentalist, it meant the basics. You knew what that was. Now you got fundamentalists of every description. In Cincinnati, I was in outside of Sharonville. They got a sign that says Fundamental Catholic Church. I said, what? That's what it says, Fundamental Catholic Church. I know what the word fundamental means. Evangelical, there's another good word. Amen, sister. What's killing us, go back and look in 1 Samuel 30. It won't take me a moment. Notice now that David went inquiring to the Lord, and God told him, says, you're going to recover it all. Gets his wives back, gets his children back. Look in your Bible. What do you mean, preacher? Our day and time, we got to reclaim our country. I believe this. We got somehow or another to get involved in redeeming our children. Amen. Nobody wants to get involved in their lives anymore. Then I thought about this. He's stolen our minds. He's stolen modesty. Modesty don't mean nothing to anybody anymore. It's so embarrassing sometimes to go in churches. Did I say that? You want me to repeat it again? It's a shame and a disgrace. I'm talking about churches that supposedly preach the truth and cry out against separation. And I'm telling you before God, women with slits come up to here, down to here. Amen, sister. We better not come back tomorrow night. But I'm just saying, modesty anymore don't mean nothing. Our young girls, our young ladies, there's no standards taught. Then I thought about this. Somehow or another, we've got to revive our churches. Somehow or another, boy, I long for God to breathe on us. We talk about revival. Wilt thou not revive us again, O Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I thought about this, our vows, our vision anymore, our day and time. But you don't see people do this anymore. You don't even see people rededicate their lives. Why don't you stay dedicated? I told him, Brother Larry, I'm not much on sports. I'm just not much on sports. But have you seen the news reels about the Olympics? Have y'all seen the young girls that won the gold medal and brought the gold medal back? They trained themselves and disciplined their life for one event, and that was to win a gold medal. Eat the right foods. Proper diet. We don't know one... They do that to run a race or to win a gold medal and hang it around their neck. I don't see people anymore determined. Amen, sister. We're talking about taking back stolen vessels. Now, hey, they came and they stole those vessels, but I look at your Bible. The Christ of glory, he ought to have our love and our loyalty, amen. Boy, it's diminishing. Coldness. I've never seen such a coldness. Your brother says, you're painting a bad picture. No, I'm not. Thank God we're going to get out of here. What do you think about that, amen? Church ain't going down, she's going up. But we got to revive our churches, amen. And what'll do that, brother sister? It ain't all this other junk everybody's involved in, plays and programs and all kinds of propaganda. What we need is to preach a book, amen. I tell them, what good would it do to have a church, 5,000 people in the rapture occur, only 10% of them leave? Does that make a lick of sense? Does that make a lick of sense? See, I don't know what y'all are thinking. I believe you ought to get involved in people's lives and try your best to help them. But preaching, I mean, telling them this false doctrine is not going to get the job done. Hey, if preaching's what turned our lives around, it'll turn them around, thank God. Hi, by the help and grace of God, I don't want to be one of them that bows, bends, or burns. Ain't going to burn. But now watch this. Listen to me. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now watch this. You folks have got a good church. Okay. But what, let's real fast, let's accelerate. This 2008. Let's meet again November. What's today right quick? Huh? Okay, let's agree that 2 years down the road, November 10th, 2010, we're going to meet together. Wonder what we talk about. Lord, help us. Wonder what we talk about. I didn't say 5 years. I'm talking about 2 years. Lord, there's changing things that happen with such rapidity, I can't keep up with all of them. You know what? It says David recovered it all. In other words, he got back those stolen vessels. I don't know about y'all. I have no clue. I know what motivates me, what drives me. I want to hear the words, well done. Amen. You know what? Let's do this. Boy, I like old Patrick Henry. I'm going to go through every one of those men. I'm going to preach a whole series of messages on them. Boy, we need a revival of patriotism.
Yeah.
Statesmen. Give me liberty or give me death. Hey, let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Parents are going to come. Song leader's going to come. He said, there is a God, Patrick Henry did. There's a just God who presides over the destiny of nations. Isn't that wonderful? Well, brother Sisson, they were out of the equation. And brother Sisson, these men were archaic. Hey, they were far more, you may call them archaic. But boy, these men had something I sure do hunger for. That's a backbone. How many of y'all not would come and say, Brother Sisson, you're absolutely right. Our nation's in trouble. I'm going to ask you to come. Brother Larry, let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we sure do need you, Lord, to move in our lives. God, thank you, Lord, for the liberties that we have, the freedoms that we have. Forgive us, Lord, where we just take it all for granted. Lord, most of us have got children and grandchildren that's out of your will. Some of them don't even know you. Lord, I pray tonight, God, please break our hearts for your cause. Help us to get out of this rut. Help us, Lord, to get out of this apathy and indifference. Lord, I pray for every person that's under the sound of my voice. Please, God, move around their hearts. Thank you for these men that have come. Lord, I pray you bless their families. Lord, give us a week this week of just, Lord, drawing close to you. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.